Coming back from the States straight into the Beis HaMikdash of Avodah is not a portion of transfer. You can ask of Aaron, who's done a very similar activity yesterday, and it's you require, in the same as you've got a different voltage of electricity over there. You need a transformer when you bring it over here. It's a very similar type of thing. There's different voltages and many other things as well, which you need a transformer of. I have a very interesting insight. I thought, you've been there before, once or twice, maybe far too many times. But this time was a bit longer than usual. And we have a new Hagdorah on what to say when Emir Tesemda will be the Hesped of America. I'm not saying it's there yet. It's on the agenda. But when there is, you have to know what's the topic. It's terminally ill. It's not only the dollar is falling. Also is happening. It's terminally ill. America is terminally ill. What America stands for. I'm not only talking on the political scene. I'm talking about a lot of other things. We will, Bezer Hashem, talk about in the framework of the Parsha Shavua and the Dvorim Amukim, which lie in the Parsha Shavua. And from there, we're going to go a stage further, B'siyat HaShemai, to understand something Dvorim Nifloim B'yoser. Starting on the theme which he spoke in Parsha's Teruma before we left, where we spoke about the Inyan Mizrach Sheh Hanukkah's Abayis L'David, notwithstanding that the Beis HaMikdash was created by Shloime, but the Beis HaMikdash was called Hanukkah's Abayis L'David. Ah, David, the Chazal didn't make it. Who made it? Shloime. But David was Choshav, and he put the energy into it, the Machshava. That's what gives the determination. We told you a bit of Agdorah, that where you have the Koyach of the Machshava, that's the determining factor more than the Maisa. It would be not able to detect that. How would you know? Maybe you need them both, but the Maisa is more important. The only way of detecting it is by putting the two people. So therefore, Kosh Baruch Hu organized it. It would be Machshava by David, Maisa by Shlomo. We call it Baishel David. We call it Baishel David. We say, ooh, Ikir HaMachshava. Want to take the same idea a little further. Pasha says in Pasha Kisiso, so he gets all these Pashas. Ubetzal ben Uri ben Chor lemate Yehuda. Le'ei, have a look. It says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Korosi, I called me. Shame in the name of this unique person, Betzal ben Uri ben Chor lemate Yehuda, who is only 13 years old, this 13-year-old boy. Says the Ramban, in this week's Pasha, what does the Ramban say, unique phenomena? He says, in the Pasha of Teruma, Tetzaveh, Vayakel, they talk a lot about Nidova. Nidova is the contribution. But there's only one time where he talks not about contribution, but he talks in a different nusach, which is Nisooi Liboi. He elevated his heart. That's in this week's Parsha. It's written that there came all the people, Ayavoyu, Kol Ha'anoshim, Posu Chaf Aleph, Lamed Hei Chaf Aleph. Vayavoyu kolisha shenoso liboy. Everybody who is heart elevated him. The choyel ashenodaruchay, the one who is spirit, made him contribute. They brought through Mr. Hashem. Says Rabban, what's the chiddik? Says Rabban, we never mentioned before nesooi ruchay. We never talk about nesooi ruchay. Why did we not talk about nesooi ruchay? Because that's where we're talking about the people who wanted to do the work. And he explains why. Because there was nobody of all the Yidden who came out of Mitzrayim who had learned the actual art, fine arts, and it's a derech hateva impossible that people who've got thick fingers, coarse fingers, as a result of all the hard physical work they did in Mitzrayim, they should come out and be fine artists like they needed for this activity. But says the Heilige Ramban Beloshim, they didn't have who to learn from either. Sometimes you get a person can learn an art by learning from a craftsman. 200 years they're out of the Mahalach. Nobody to learn from. There's nothing to teach them. His heart elevates itself and comes to Moshe. I'm going to do it. Do you know how to do it? Don't ask me, do I know how to do it? My heart wants to do it, I'll be able to do it. So not that the capacity determines what it will do, the rotzen to do, that's called the so'oi liboy. That was the speciality of Bezalel and some other people who didn't come to Moshe Rabbeinu, I am talented with X, Y, Z talent which is necessary for the job. Came to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, I want to do the job, I'll do it. What do you mean you'll do it? How do you know to do it? Well, I want so much, I'll manage. The inside will burst through, will hatch through the outside. We see this in a pasuk much stronger. The Chazal tell, why was Bezalel Zoicha to this big matana to be the one who built the Mishkan? Yes, he knew how to make the Oisias, the Shemaim Oros, we know the Gemara Brachas. What was unique is he was a grandson of a man called Chor. Chor, Chazal say, Bevishtakum and other Bevishtakum should talk about it. Chor was the man who was the hero of the Chetar Egel. At the time of the Chetar Egel, the Jewish people had one opponent. One person got up and said, don't. Who was that? Chor. And what did they do to him, Nebuch? They killed him. Says the Madrash of Moshe Lebaadavadim is compared to a case of a general who prevented and overwhelmed a attempt of a coup d'etat against a king, a rebellion. He was killed in the process. So the king says, had he been alive, I would have repaid him, made him a general, would have elevated the position. He's dead, I have to give it to his family. So, Chor was Meis and Nefesh HaKadosh at the time of the Chetar Egel, made he has a schus that his grandson would be able to do the Avodas HaMishkan. Rabbi, I want you to hear how you're supposed to read the pasuk, not like you thought, sir. You thought the pasuk reads, Ubetzalel, who was the son of Uri, and was the son of Chor, Lamat Yehuda, he was the one who did it all. It's not the pshat. You know what the pshat is? A different pshat, a lomdish pshat. Yes, Reb Daniel. Pshat like this. When you met Bezalel, you say, what's your name? He wouldn't say, my name is Bezalel. Why? Is there such a thing like, you know, a person calls his name and name his father. I mean, like you say, your name is Daniel Birnbaum. It's a guy, you got a name. Person got a name? Got a name. So he call him a name, and then what is the name? Bezalel ben Uri, not Bezalel. You know what Bezalel called himself? He says, you want to know his name? I'm called Bezalel ben Uri ben Chor. I never heard of a Gabba calling up somebody Bezalel ben Uri ben Chor. Yeah? He says, that's my name. And all of that, Namat Yehuda. What's the pshat? Well, just a clumsy guy. The pshat like this is a deep point to it. When you met Bezalel going around, he lived 24 hours a day the fact, I'm not just Bezalel. I'm not Bezalel who my father happened to be Uri. I'm not Bezalel who just happens to be Bezalel Uri got my identification. I want some better identification. Maybe there's a few Uris in town. No, he's Uri the son of Chor. No! We're not talking about identification. You know what we're talking about? Definition. The definition of the shame Bezalel was, he was a man going around with his alertness and awareness. He's Ben Uri. And he's Ben Chor. And he's Mati Yehuda. Expecting big things. Nesor Levi, therefore his heart. Elevate him. I'm prepared to do. Yehuda went into the water. Chor, Moshe Nefesh. I got a legacy. I'm able to do it. Do you know how to do it? Nobody taught Yehuda how to go through the Yam. He did it. Nesor Levi. Nobody told Chor how to be Moshe Nefesh of the Jewish people. He did what had to be done. Nobody taught Bezalel how to be a craftsman. He'll do it. The inside is Bekeah. Do you want to hear it yet stronger? Oh, you have no idea how deep it is. Everybody has got inside him, which we've discussed many times in Ishmuzen, like his body is a shoe of his nefesh. And his nefesh is a shoe of higher elements of spirituality, which exist, which their names are not of consequence at the moment. But a person has a lot of frameworks of ruchni on top of him, which are his, which he is, it's his shoyrish, but they aren't always operating inside him. It's the same as a grandfather doesn't always operate inside you. A lot of people, they are who they are. There's another person, you say, whenever you meet him, he's Yitzhak ben Shaul. He's got a name. Why has he got a name? He lives, him and his father. How many people live the grandfather? How many people live the great-grandfather? I want you to hear the Oymekinian. It wasn't that Bezalel ben Uri Bechor only lived. There's Tata, Mit Zedem, Mit Elto Zedem, he lived all those days. He lived consciously all those koimas, all those higher stages of his neshama, which aren't really active in the body, but he was aware, my shoes are carrying my body, and my body as a shoe is carrying a whole lot of levels there. And he was aware of it. He was alert to it. He functioned accordingly. He behaved accordingly. And he acted and was capable accordingly. And I'll tell you why. The same as the Heidegger, Rashi tells us by Matan Torah that Kosh Baruch Hu told the whole Aseret Dibros B'Bayachad. 10
Dibris Bebach Achas, simultaneously. She'ein ha'pe yachol eshmoya, nobody can hear it, and nobody can, you can't speak, you can't hear it. And then he repeated it over, piece by piece. And we've explained before what's the reason he's put it in a way nobody can understand. If any has to be repeated, what is the reason? Because there is a koima in the person, the koima and yoida, the higher spiritual energies of a person. Are you thinking of Avraham? They are koilet. They do absorb nasav and ishmit together. They absorb asad, aseches, and dibus biyachad. Clear? Mimele, who adin, if you follow the amkus advorim, what happened with Betzalel? Betzalel lived his parents, his grandparents, his great-grandparents. He didn't just live it on an emotional way. He wasn't all kind of, I don't know how to call it, you know, oh, it's my father, my grandfather. And, you know, there are some people who kind of a bisla, when they get nothing much more to do in their lives, they reminiscence on their past. I believe that in the States, in certain areas, where they've completely been miyayish on having a future, they've made a tremendous asik out of family trees. Because they're the end of the line. Do you understand? Nebuch. It's such a painful thing. And monies which are spent on this is unbelievable. Jews more than anybody else. Fire we're talking. Nebuch. There's no continuity, so they start looking backwards. What are they gonna do? That's what we're talking about. We're not talking to look for, I have this youth as a grandfather. I have a legacy of responsibility, because look what I've got behind me. I've got a Yehuda, Tachur, Mitzvah, I've got a Chiyuv. And that's also the Pshat of the Neshama. He lived all the Chalkei Neshama. If Keshbog gave me all this big koima, this tremendous structure on top of me, it enables me to do things. The same as Natav and Ishma, sorry, the same as Zoch of Hashama can be understood by the higher Chalokim, and the same as the Aseres HaDibros B'Yachid can be held by the, can be perceived by the higher Chalokim, who again, identically, can also be held by the, how to do craftsmanship. You don't do craftsmanship with those Chalkei Neshama. But you pick up the ideas there, and that penetrates through to the person. That's how he said, Nesol Levi, I'm going to operate whatever I'm going to do. Do I have the faculties? No. Will I get them? Whatever I need, I'll be able to do. Why? Nesol Levi, the state. If you hear the oimek of this, you will recognize that this is connected to what we spoke to Mr. Shech, Rukh, and Bayez David. That in our case, you had the Cheneka Machshove, and the Chenega Maisa in the one person. And it goes further. And it goes further. There's a famous Rashi. Right at the beginning of Parshas Bekuda, brings down the Medrash, the Chazal, that Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur, you know what he did? Everything which Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe. And Chazal, I'm a direct deposit. Also, as Korosher Tziva, Hashem as Moshe. He did everything Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu. As Chazal, it should be seen, he did everything Moshe Rabbeinu told him. Because Moshe Rabbeinu gave him a whole list of instructions, it should be written. The Bezalel carried out all the instructions which Moshe Rabbeinu told him to do. So Chazal, no, that's not what happened. Moshe Rabbeinu gave instructions differently. These are different instructions. What's the difference? So I want you to hear well. The Chazal say Moshe Rabbeinu told them first to make the kelim in Parsha Truma, first of the oven, the menorah, the shulchan, all the clay amikdash, and later to make the actual mishkan. And Bezalel says, I beg your pardon, I really beg your pardon, but this lechura does not the normal way of doing things. A person first brings a house and then puts in the furniture. Then we should first make the mishkan and only then make the kelim. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Bezalel, Kel, or Yisa. You're in the shadow of Hashem. That's why he got the name. It's Bezalel. You were right. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu told me to tell. And you should first make the outside and then the inside. There's a variety of difficulties with this Chazal, but Rashi says it. Banui built on the Pasuk. Because the Pasuk says clearly an extra word to be in diet that Bezalel did what Hashem told Moshe, not what Moshe told Bezalel. So there's a discrepancy. Can anybody realize what a big Kiddush it is? Moshe Rabbeinu gave over the whole Torah Kura. We don't find in one place, the whole Torah Kura, not one place in the whole Torah Kura, here Aaron, not one place where Moshe Rabbeinu made a discrepancy, what he was told, to what he told Jewish people. What Hashem told him, he told over. And one place to find it. Which is over here. It's obvious that Moshe Rabbeinu told him to do first the Kalim and then the Mishkan. And he says, maybe we should do the other way around. And Moshe says, yeah, you're in the shadow of a god. Now, I would ask you, how come Moshe Rabbeinu, the great Moshe Rabbeinu, who gave over the whole Torah with precise accuracy, should suddenly default over here and say different? And it wasn't a difference on the small part. He had not thought it wasn't a small point. It's just a bomb difference. You start with the Oren, you start with the Mishkan. I mean, this is a big difference. And excuse me, the Svara, which the Tzalal said was a Shvera Svara, Moshe couldn't think of it. Poshto Svara, where are you going to put the things? So Poshto Svara, you'd be a big tzaddik for that. So we have a difficulty understanding this Mamar Chazal. How come Moshe did not give over what he was told to? And what kind of answer that Tzalal? I think if Moshe Rabbeinu did, unfortunately, make a mistake, Chas v'Shalom, that he should do like's written in the Parsha of Shmini, the Gabi, the Indian over there, he should say, I made a mistake. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm sorry, I got it confused, I didn't say right. What reason, I don't know. There's no mention that he excused himself. There's no mention that he says, you know, well, I should have said this, but I changed it for this reason. Nothing mentioned at all. It just we said a nice poetic lotion. Bezalel, you got a nice name. You thought what Hashem said. I know he's got a nice name. He thought Hashem said, but Moshe Rabbeinu, where have you been? That's a big omission, isn't it? And there's no reference to this problem. And therefore, we have to go deeper into this Chazal, and you learn a new pshat, something completely different. Moshe Rabbeinu omitted nothing. Moshe Rabbeinu did exactly what had to be done. He left nothing out. That's why he didn't apologize. So was the pshat. But we're turning over a maral, Aboisai. This maral is moire dike maral, gewaltig idionim, and it's poshut. You understand this maral? It answers all the questions. Many more questions we haven't asked now. This is a maral like this. The Mishkan had two ingredients in it. One ingredient is the machshava, like we're talking all the time. There had to be the big kavonis which existed in the subject of building the Mishkan, all the ideas behind it. And the other is the Lamaisa house that had to be actually built. Who was appointed to look after the Machshava exclusively? Moshe. Because Moshe wasn't told to make it. He wasn't the artist, he was told to be instructor. But he wasn't going to make it. Who was Mufkan, who was appointed in order to be the actual executor of the building? Bezalel. We will see later, it doesn't mean that Bezalel didn't need the Machshava, but he was the executor. So the Maral, isn't it brilliant? He says like this. A person decides he wants to build a house. You ask him, what do you want the house for? To have a house? No, but what do you want the house for? I want in it a table, I want in it bed, I want in a cheres for him, I want in it a kitchen, I want the facilities, I want to use it. The house is a framer in which to put things. So what you really want is, in actual fact, you want a table and chairs, but you won't want where to put it, correct? That's what you want the dealer for. You want where to put it. But what you want is the use, not the keli. So in machshava, what do you need first? Furniture. Everybody knows the importance, the element of utility. You don't use the house, you use what's in the house. But in the practicality, it would make no sense if you go into a furniture shop and buy all the furniture. And they say, oh, now we're going to buy a house. And where are you going to leave all the furniture in between? It maybe doesn't suit. So what do you have to do practically? You go from the outside in. So the marshal adover and the ma'adover deime is, if you look at the machshava, the purpose is the kelim. Nobody argues the main purpose is the oren. The main purpose is the menorah. The main purpose is the shulchan. Klei amishkan. But the lemaise, you're going to start on the outside. So the maral, a beautiful idea. Moshe Rabbeinu, his purpose in the whole destruction, Hashem could have told us direct to who? To Bezalel, give him direct instruction. What do you need Moshe for? Nay, because Moshe's machshava was critical here. Like Dovid HaMelech's. In the Olam HaMachshava, what had to be a priority? The Kelim. So Moshe Rabbeinu said the Kelim first. He made no mistake. None whatsoever. He was precise and accurate. The Kelim come first. That's the purpose. Purpose is the Ovid. Like the Ramban says in Parshat Tumah, the first thing is the Ovid. Top priority. But he was talking to Bezalel. And Bezalel is doing what? He's not doing Machshavas. He's doing Machshavas into the Maisa. He's combining the two. He's taking the Machshava, making Maisa. In the Olam HaMaisa, which got preference, which got priority, building the outside, so the Mishkan was built first.
Moshe Rabbeinu understood very well that the Tzara would understand. You have to know when you're speaking to somebody, will he understand you? You can say the best Rosh in the world, but the guy doesn't understand, and he understands you wrong, you get nowhere.
Moshe knew his rapport with Bezalel was that Bezalel would understand that it was the other way around.
And when Bezalel said, you probably mean that I should make the ones outside first?
He says, yes, Bezalel Kelo Yisa.
What did you kind of say that for? Bezalel Kelo, you were in the shadow of Hashem. The word Bezalel Kelo is not an apology, it's not even a justification. It's precise.
Do you know what the shadow is? Maybe the best example is if you get a rubber stamp and you put it on a piece of paper and you want the other face coming out, you always have to have the opposite on the rubber stamp than what you have on what comes out.
When you were a kid, you didn't understand why. You looked at it, how does it work? You remember that? You've grown older. That's the Rashi.
That Bezalel Kelo, it's the shadow is the opposite. So yes, in order to get to this, you have to do that. That's the pshat.
But you're right.
Yet more. If so, you might ask, but Moshe Rabbeinu still was not so focused. Because he knew who he's speaking to. Who is he speaking to, Mr.? Bezalel. And what's Bezalel supposed to do? The Lemaise. And the Lemaise starts to the outside or the inside? Starts to the outside. So he should have told him what he has to do.
No.
Do you know why? Because if he would have told him just like that, then it would have been he would have kind of ignored the Olam of Machshava for Bezalel. That'd be useless. Then his Lemaise would be also useless. You're only able to do a lemaisa starting on the outside if it has unconsciously, cognitively, an awareness of the importance of the priority of machshava, and therefore the outside is aimed at fulfilling the inside, then you can do the job. So Moshe Rabbeinu did precisely what he had to do. He said to him, the first thing is kaidim. And he understood he would grasp, you're going to turn around to start on the outside. But so why did he not tell him his way? Because he had to know top priority what it is. And as he's doing the outside, he had to think, this outside is for that inside.
Give you a halacha in Hilchos Sukkah. A very surprising halacha in Hilchos Sukkah. And you'll see from here an indication. A very interesting halacha.
The Bach in Hilchos Sukkah brings down, the word maybe is not halacha, it's an idea, it's like a minute, but yes, it's a done thing. If a person has a sukkah made out of groshim, beams, and he puts it up from year to year, and then he dismantles it and puts it back together. Obviously, not all the beams are in the Mizrach, not all in the Mairav, not all in the Tzof, not all in the Dorim. Ideally, you put it back in the same position every year. Do you hear what's going on? There's no din in the Atzei sukkah for the Tzof, the Dorim, Mizrach, Mairav, but there is. Because it is vis-a-vis what's inside. You understand? It's got importance where it is. The brick over the Ohr HaKodesh has got more importance than the brick in the back. The Merpeset certainly. That's the way it is. It's got more Kedusha. The physical parts have got more impact than the, when it's got focused.
So it says the same idea. Where did the Bach get it from? From the Mishkan. That's written all these Kroshim. You know what do they call them? These? Who knows how to translate Kroshim?
No. These pillars which went into the Adonim, into the sockets. What are they called? Kroshim, that's it. These Kroshim were all identical. And hypothetically, you could just pack them up and stack them as you like. And when you take the Mishkan apart for traveling, you just stack them up. And when you put them haphazardly, take whichever you want, and put each where you want. And you shouldn't do that. The Gemara says they were marked, number-wise, numerically marked, and they're all put back in identical positions. Because the one in the Mizrach was beside this Kedi, and that was beside the Shulchan, that was beside the Menorah, was beside the Ogun. No, it was not just a Mishkan, it was a Mishkan related to the, to what's inside. And if it's a Mishkan which relates to what's inside, when they made the Mishkan, they have to know what's in the inside. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu have to start with Bezalel on the Chelek HaMachshava? So you have to tell him first Kedim. But you, Lemaisa, are doing the other.
Ah, so Geschmack. No questions, I mean the answer. But we're going further.
Now you're going to see a beauty which is mamish yafemod. Bezalel was the place where you saw the greatest expression of the fusion of the machshava and the maisa. The fusion. By Dovra Merach was machshava here, maisa by Shlomo. Shlomo had to have the kavonis as well. The kavonis made an impact. By Bezalel, he was the man who by him fused both. He was told Machshava, and he did Lemaisa. What is that like?
Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur lemat Yehuda.
When you called Bezalel ben Uri, we said we know his identity. We know who he is, he's him. But when he said Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur, you're not looking for identity. It's a stempel, it's a definition of who he is. He lived, Mr. Hur. Mr. Hur is dead now. The grandfather's dead. He died on Kiddush Hashem. Yes, his dying on Kiddush Hashem opened vistas of spirituality for the grandson, which he lived the whole time. That's the Olim HaMachshava. That's not Olim HaMaisa. There's nothing LaMaisa about a dead grandfather. There's nothing LaMaisa about a dead grandfather. It's over. But open vistas of Machshava, which you could kind of tune into. And that helped him in his actual life. Also, Mati Yehuda. Yehuda was already Nifta. But he went Holosh Yehuda Kodja, went through the Yam. The Sirius Nefesh. So what was Bezalel doing? Bezalel did not live in the yesterday. He didn't live in dimyonis, in imagination. Oh, I had great grandfathers and talk, write books about them like they do today, maybe. Write a big article, make a big issue about the grandfather. He converted that legacy into lemaisa, into actuality, into what he is mechuyav to do. I'm going to change. I'm going to do different. I'm going to live machshavadik in the Eidem HaMaisa. You see the beautiful fusion of the two? So Bezalel ben Uri b'chur lemat Yehuda is the same person who, we said, he lived all his koima, his whole spiritual structure, and put it into reality. That's why the apostle says, not v'ruchai, he didn't make any contribution. He had nothing to give. Because he didn't know any of these arts. His fingers were coarse fingers of laborers. They were not artistic fingers that you needed. But his body couldn't manage, but his spirit could. And he put his spirit, which is the machshava, into the body. And they fused together. And it became a mishkan. It became the kedem. All the finesse work was done perfectly. The best work of art ever done. Not through having artistic qualities. Not that he had a teacher to teach him how to do it. But he had a lathe which is connected to all these koichas. Machshava and maisa put together, that's Bezalel. That's a mishkan. How did the mishkan become? You take koyach machshava, put it into the maisa, have them fuse. You need a Moshe Rabbeinu to give the structure because he's, as it were, Oymer al Gaboy. Oymer al Gaboy would be at Seir, if you remember the Gemara there by Engitin. What did the Gera of Olav Deyaninu? The Gemara says Oymer al Gaboy. So the Pshat the machshava of Oymer al Gaboy can put in by Shechit as well. We said to the remember in Gemara and Chulin. Akaponin is such an Indian that the Oymer al Gaboy, somebody else, the machshava, can put something into the mice as well. So here you have the mice in the machshava. Being directed by Moshe Rabbeinu, but functioned by him. And you see that constantly, if you pay attention, in the long Kriyas HaTorah of Vayakel, Shor Parsha. But it's going over and over again, and he talks about Lachshoyiv Machshavois. He was able to think Machshavois. And people try to think, yeah, I'm sure he thought a lot of good Machshavois, and you come on as a Shema, etc. But that's the Oymek HaDover. The Mishkan was never supposed to be an artistic work. Because it was done by artistic work, we should first go to find the artist. And we should have set up a faculty in the Midbury University for art. And when they developed the faculty of fine arts and know how to do it, then they'd be able to make a nice wish. They didn't do that. They set up a faculty for fine ruchni. And the ruchni converted into this fine art. On the same beginning of fusing the ruchni with the gashmi in such an oifen. Because it was a creation of this sort. That was the sort of creation it was. The Mishkan had to be this fusing of the Ruchni and the Gashmi, and therefore converting the Gashmi into something completely different as a result of the Machshava. Lachshav Machshava is a critical, integral part of the whole thing. I want to take this point a step further. Taking everything which was said hitherto, from the beginning of Bezalel ben Uri b'chur, the second stage, the third, so all three stages, we could make it on a figurative way as follows. There is something which begins on the top and goes to the bottom, and there's something which begins at the bottom and goes to the top. Thoughts, by definition, start above and come down. They come into the Ramayza. If they don't come down, then they remain thoughts. But the thought has to be converted into actuality. Actions are the opposite. They start and they're very low, but if you put machshava into them, they can rise up. So these are two directions of activity which man has. Machshava into maisa, maisa back to machshava. Those are the two things. We're stopping there for a second. I'm going to go to stage two. And we'll see the stage two and the stage three are all connected. Being in the States, I was invited
to a dinner in the Washington Heights, that's the Breuer Kehillah in New York, have an annual dinner. And the rabbi there is a person called Rav Chaya Gedi, who was a yeshiva of mine 40 years ago. And he's unfortunately not so well. And I met him, and he said, do me a favor, please come to the function. For a reason which he had, and I was there at this function. And he said, Drosha. And he observed a particular point, Bekitzer, and we're going to develop that point a little further, B'siyata Rishmaya. And the point which he said was as follows. If you want to define America today, its major quality, it's the Mamleches HaChesed. It's the Mamlocha of goodness, of benevolence. Why? He says, the amount of tzedakah and chesed which is done in America, that's taught by the Eden, is just unparalleled. The amount of charity and goodness and chesed organizations which exist there, unbelievable, unbelievable. In every possible area, whether it is in, without going into details, there's a tremendous amount of chesed going on there. By the Goyim, there's also a lot of, I would call it, might call it political chesed, but there's a lot of charity going on as well. There's a particular state in the Middle East which you never manage, if not for Uncle Sam sending so many dollars, which are not worth anything anymore, but sending them across every year. I can't remember how many milliards they send, but it sends across millions every year. If not for that, we wouldn't manage. Very straightforward. It's a fact. It's going to be market favor. And the American taxpayer goes overdraft because the government wants to give. If they only gave us, no, they give Mitzrayim, they give a lot of other places. They didn't ask you to tell a guy where to send the money. I know. But they give. Now, you could look at that as being chesed, the help on help. It could be political chesed. You can look at various ways. There is a lot of goodness. The typical American nature is to be a fine, nice person. Much sweeter, much nicer. Typical American non-Jewish person is a nice, sweet person. Likes to be say, how are you? Even you go to petrol, you know, wish you a good day. Enjoy. They're nice and good and fine to you. That's the typical nice, open American thing. As opposed to people in other parts of the world, which we won't describe, are not always so identically friendly and nice in Europe and other places like that. But Aliyah v'kutzba. It's not all yontif. It's not totally yontif. We have in the Torah generally two middas. There's a lot more, but there's two middas. One middah is called Ahava, and one middah is called Yira. Ahava is love of Hashem, and Yira is fear of Hashem. We say it, La Ahava ul Yira Eshemecha, we say in Krishna and the Bechus, to love and fear your name. Two separate functions. The Ramban brings down in the Aser Sedibras, Zohar Veshoma are Ahava of Yira. Zohar is a mitzvah's essay. All the action to do, that's because you love Hashem, therefore you do what He asks. And refraining from avarice which He prohibits, Yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem. Those are the two major functioning areas in our lives. In mitzvahs, that's a positive force and a negative force. It's got other names, chesed gevurah, there's various other names to it, but the klal hadavar is, we have those two functioning going. A lot of people here have read in the books, which you've read, with Rav Dess or other books that bring down from the Sforma Kedeshim, that Avram's specific midah was chesed. Yitzchak's specific midah was gevurah. Gevurah meaning he was a davener, a very stark davener, midas adin. Other differences between him and Avram, which we're not going into at the moment, are our topic. But there you see again, in the Avos, we had two patterns. In the Mishkan, we had both patterns. The Avodah was divided into two types of Kabbonis. You had Kabbonis, which you know all about, the Korban Chatas on the Averis, that's on the Yira. You had Kabbonis, which are on the Avo, yes? Shlovim, etc., on the Avo. You had the both types there. Yet more, the Ikkar, says the Rabban in the Mishka, was the Torah, which came down Ben Abadim. That's Avo. Torah is always Avo. And Avodah is Yira. Shalom Avodcha b'yira kimi oylam. Avodah shemalev, that's yira. Ikka, so the Beis HaMikdash had Torah and Avodah. Chesed and the other. But those two parts were inside it. Fine. A car has four wheels and one spare wheel. We'll come along somebody and say, who told you it's got four wheels and one spare wheel? Efshe, it has three wheels and two spare wheels. Why? Itaka has all four, but I've seen here they've got these tripods going, I don't know if they call them, because they see a machine can work on three wheels. You know, two wheels in the back and one in the middle and the front. It can work on three wheels. So man, the emma says in your car you've got four wheels going, but one of them is a spare, even the one on the floor, not in the back. He'll tell you, a philosopher, it's also a spare tire. No, me always tell you, they've got an extra one there, why not? They've got a spare tire in the front already. So if one goes, you've got a spare one. I don't have to tell anybody how bizarre this is, ridiculous. It's like Hoyable in Nivo, it's ridiculous. It's not a spare tire, it's critical to be there. And without it, the car is lopsided, it can't go at all. It's a mistake to think that Ahava and Yira, which are those two cardinal ingredients of Torah and Yir Shamayim, are existable independent. It's not a car with two wheels. It's got a wheel, it's got a spare wheel. Both are very important, but you can have a one wheel. A one wheel is not a car. Yiddishkeit with Ava without Yira, or Yira without Ava, it's not. It doesn't function well. It's not only it's incomplete, it's not a car. It trudges on the ground. The chesed is nishkin chesed if it doesn't have gvura with it. The chesed is not chesed if it doesn't have Yerushalayim with it. Sharper to be said, chesed, which is done, can have two motivations. One motivation, a person be chesed, I feel I want to contribute. I want to give. I want to be a good man. I want the other person to receive. I want to be generous. That's a gewalte good midah. There's another very closely related to that. He gets a satisfaction, I would almost say egoistic satisfaction. I gave. I produced. Yira Shemayim doesn't give you any of such pleasure at all. You can't, a person is afraid of Hashem because Yira Shemayim, you're afraid of doing an Avera. He doesn't go around and say, I produce. You produce nothing. Maybe you're framed for doing an Avera, but you didn't produce that. Nothing to produce. Nothing to show. Yira Shemayim is nothing to show. A person is proud that it's Yira Shemayim. That is not an indication of the strongest Madrig of Yira Shemayim. You understand yourself. Yira Shemayim is nothing to show. It's not a show-off case. Yeah? You can't get a degree in Yira Shemayim. It doesn't exist. Why not? It's not a testable thing. It's not a showable thing. Chesed? Oh, it's showable. You can make your organization with a sign. And you can make even a bigger sign, and you make a sign bigger than the organization. Possible, yes. Chesed can always be analyzed in both directions. It can be analyzed, is it chesed only for the sake of helping and being good? Or is it also, yeah, I want to tell you. Yes. I prefer the people, generally, who do chesed not for the right reasons. Okay, it's better than do for the right reasons. Than the people who don't do chesed at all. We're not criticizing that. We're not discussing the fact there is such an American tchuna of being good and fine and nice, which even if it doesn't have the best motivations, it's a good midah. But we have to know that the same as by the goy, the ava without yira is not only a nice midah, it's also a midah of really trying to get recognition. You know what the biggest expense in the national product in America is? Publicity. And if you don't know, you haven't been to America. America's publicity is gzeres shovah sheh, mamash, you can't stop. It's the same thing together. Everything's publicity, publicity, ganzadach publicity. And if you don't have publicity, it doesn't exist. I was at a particular shul, and some particular person got up to speak. Nebuch, he wanted to make, he has an institution, he wanted to speak. Nebuch, he made such a not good impression, it's difficult to describe. People had told him, sat back from laughing. He did not speak well. It was a bad shot, Nebuch. And one person gets up and says, in America, that's a great thing. Everybody's talking about it is a bad speaker. But they're talking about it was good. That's all they need. They're talking about it. That's all they needed. So it's better than a good speech. But in American eyes, that's right. Publicity, that's all you need, publicity. The Torah says, it's snuim chokhmah. The Torah likes sneers. The Torah advocates non-publicity. The Torah advocates action, l'shem shemayim, not so I should be able to get ahead. Yirah shemayim into chesed means as follows. Yirah shemayim into chesed means it's chesed, motivated, controlled, and also aimed through the medium of Yirah Shemayim. It's not just chesed in order to do good, but it definitely is not only chesed to make oneself a good name. And as I say, we prefer the people who feel they get a good name by being chesed than get a good name for doing non-chesed. Yeah, we prefer that. Oh, but it has in it something like that. Without being a pair to criticize, that's why I repeat over, in the name of a rabbi, there's an American rabbi in Washington Heights, and he's got a very kosher position over there. I quote him, chesed in America is missing the yira. That's what he says. I'm quoting. I'm not saying my critique. Quoting. What's the movement of chesed being missing yira? Yira shemayim is not a very popular thing in America at all. It doesn't fit. I didn't say it is elsewhere. But the whole American way of life, laissez-faire, do what you like, pleasant, enjoy yourself, it's good, everything fine, with his own thing. Yirah Shemayim doesn't stim so well with the typical American life. And when the Hesped of America will be said, that is going to say, what about all those milas? It had milas, and it has milas. We're very thankful for the milas. But those milas are a car with three wheels. Actually, two wheels. Because the wheels of Yirah are not inside it. Starting by the going transmitted to some Eden as well. Yes, chesed is not enough. It's got chesed with yira inside as well. You need chesed with yira. And yira, so the yira means that the chesed is going to be operating in the right kivun. It's not chesed for a purpose of being megadled, the name of the person does it. He doesn't get the feeling under the giver. It's understood in the right and done in the right fashion. Yira shemayim ought to be the controller. We'll have a quick look at this week's Parsha, and we will find so much detail and description and demands and stipulations on what and how to give. And we would all imagine, if a person wants to give, come on, he's not the Ruchai, then give what he wants. Let's start with Machtzis HaShekel. Machtzis HaShekel. He has to give exactly half a shekel. So Rashi says there's three trumas, remember? Machtzis HaShekel, and then we can give whatever you want. The pasuk says, Ha'osher lo yarbe v'adal lo yamit. The osher, the rich man, shouldn't give more, and the poor man should not give less. Fine? When you look at that pasuk, you say, oh, that's great. Each one gives half a shekel, and we give the Machtzis HaShekel. No problem. You look up the Ramban, and the Ramban tells you a big chiddush. An osher who will give more than Machtzis HaShekel is over belav. He's over belav. It's a lav sheyesh b'maisa. That the Ramban doesn't say, but the Chura says. And he says, an oni who gives less than a Machtzis HaShekel is over belav. That's a lav sheyesh b'maisa. That's a sheyesh Ramban is a poshel. You agree? Lav sheyesh b'maisa. He didn't give. He didn't give. You hear what's going on? A rich man will give more than Machtzis HaShekel, gotta love. We're telling him, don't give more. It's not just a technicality, that's what you have to give. It's not permitted to give more. So you might say, so what? You tell the rich man, you don't give more, of course you won't pay more. Says the ultimate kam, you don't know what a rich man is. For a rich man to give the identical amount as a poor man, is self-sacrifice. I will give the same as a poor man. I? He pays twice as much for all the food. He eats identical food as the poor man. But he doesn't buy a Dutch shop, he buys a Dutch shop because he's a rich man. He can't give half a shekel. A shekel. It's below my dignity to give half a shekel. He says, it's not stam a lav, the Tigre says. That lav focuses and analyzes and goes into the nefesh of the person and says, you are going to be controlled what you can give. You know what that is, Rabbi Sai? Chesed, but there should be Yirah Shemayim in the Chesed. And the second time also Machtzis HaShekel. You mustn't give more than Machtzis HaShekel, you mustn't give less. Don't just give your rich, your poor, what You do what you're told. Chesed has to have a format. But the third one, that's everybody likes. We didn't block the opportunity of your own self-expression. But the prerequisite, you hear, Rabbi Isai, before you got to the opportunity of giving as much as you want, you first have a regulated chesed. It would appear to anybody who thinks logically, regulated chesed is the antithesis of chesed. Correct? Regulation is opposite of chesed. Chesed is the antithesis of regulation. And to tell you, the first contribution was took, first regulation, then free for all. Rabbi's idea, what's going on, two lives are available. Moshe Michael, you have two lives. For what? Because chesed should never be left without a controlling factor. Chesed needs a Yerushalayim ingredient inside it. You're giving, just be careful. Too much, be allowed. Too little, allowed. Too precise. Oh. Then, afterwards, we let you give what you want. There's expression of an individual slave as well. Derech Agav, I'll tell you a beautiful morale. This is not our topic, but you can't leave it out. It's such a beautiful idea. The morale asks a beautiful question. Lomdish question. He says, if the Torah said, on the rich man you may not give more than half a shekel, and the poor man may not give less, you can see from the fact that the Torah made such a instruction that had it been not for the instruction, what would have been the default? What would have been the simple matzav? The rich man should give more and the poor man should give less. That should have been. In other words, the Torah says, we give you an instruction by Machta Shekel, La Fuke, to exclude from that matzav, correct? Ask the Maral, if so, by the third contribution. What was the third contribution for the Mishkan? And there was no restriction. There was no din of Moshe Michael of Ha'osher lo yaveh v'dal lo yamit. There's no restriction of the rich giving a lot and the poor giving a little. So what ought to be? We should go back to the original Hodor Dina. We should go back to the original norm. And what's the norm is? That the Osher should give a lot and the poor man should give a little. That's what Mahal asks. So why do we say everybody gives whatever he wants? So Mahal says a beautiful idea. He says there's some rich people, not all, but there are rich people, who've got monies salted away in all islands of the world. The more illegal the government, the more money they have there. He says, these people who have the money salted away, they're rich, they're so rich. They and their children and their grandchildren will never have any use of it because there's so much money there, they'll never be able to utilize it. Money which you don't utilize, it might be legally under your name, but you're never going to make use of it. It's garnished. He says, you know what the rich man is? So the rich man is not somebody who has a lot of money. He knows how to administer it, he says. What's called administration, if he gives, if he doesn't give, then his money, he's not going to take it with him to El Mabo. Not only in Egypt they did that, put it into his caver. Nowhere else they do it. There's nothing he's going to use it for afterwards. If he's not going to use it for afterwards, he can't buy upstairs money with it. He can use it here. So he says, what does the Torah say? Ish asher yidvenu libo, whatever his heart wants. That's saying a rich man gives a lot, and a poor man gives a little. That's not written rich. It says real riches are determined, not by how much money you have, but how generous you are. That's only after the Yerushalayim, after regulation. So here goes stage one, regulated chesed, and then free-for-all chesed. But what's real free-for-all? How much he wants to be a noisy. There's a Gemara in Bava Basra Dafyud. Resound in Posuk in Mishli, Proverbs. Yud Dalet Lam Dalet. You look it up, Aaron, afterwards? 14:34. And the Posuk there says, Chesed Leumim Chatos. Literally meaning, Kol, the Gemara says in Bavasa Yud, Kol Chesed She'a Umas Ha'ilim Osim De Garmayu Avdu. If they do Chesed, they do it for themselves. Very sharp, sweeping statement. Chesed l'umim chatos. Meaning as follows. We do not restrict the fact that, yes, non-Jews do charity. And there is a lot of charity often done. But it's difficult to find that they should not have some internally focused benefit which they're trying to achieve. And even if that's not on the cognitive level, which means they are not actually aware of it, it exists on a spiritually cognitive level to be marked the golos and other such things we won't go into at the moment. In other words, when the goy does it, ligar mayhu avdei, it's not lishma, it's to achieve something. It's to achieve political power. It's to show off I'm a good man, to give a satisfaction to his feeling. The most evil people in the world have a certain pleasure if they help an old man one day to cross the road. Later on, they go and kill somebody else, the old man, because they want his money. Doesn't matter. But their pleasure from goodness gives a person a good feeling. That's not chesed. Something else. It's something else. That's not what chesed is. Chesed is the focus on somebody else. That's what chesed is. Not what I'm going to get from him. He's to get. That's chesed. Yimeila, chesed le'umim chatas is what's being said over here. The guy gives chesed, he must have his name on it. He must have publicity. American publicity, we said before. I would be happier if I could say that the rabbis in America say this hasn't crept into the Tzibur Haredi. That it has not, I would be happy if we could say it did not enter the Torah world. Or the frumu world anyway. Yes, we'd be better. This is an issue that chesed l'umim chatas has to be understood. We advocate sneers. We advocate, if you're rich, Baruch Hashem, it's a good zah. Don't be ostentatious. If you're rich, don't be show off. If you're rich, use the money for the right things. Administer correct. That's chesed with yira. That's just as good as chesed without yira falls very quickly into another bechina. What's the eitzah of the poil to that? The actual eitzah for that is a very simple dach. A person getting used to not looking for publicity. A person getting used not to look for acclaim. A person getting used to try and hide his good actions. And when you start operating that, you'll suddenly find out how un-American it is. That's typically un-American, yes. Maybe it's more against the grain of the typical American than many other details of Torah mitzvahs. Because America is tolerant, as far as goodness. But do the Shem Shemayim, then nobody should know about it, just for the emes. That's a daga. That's a daga. But that is what we have to do. Exercises on doing good, not for gaining benefit. Not for publicity, not for knowledge. Could it take the same step to a third stage? And then Vahoya Mishkan Echo, we see all three go together. Part of this you have heard previously, but the second half, I didn't even know before. Since Chadash, I was in the States. I understand there was here somewhere in, whilst we was away, there's a bit of snow here. But the snow we had over there, said, this, that was snow. That was snow, snow. Yeah, I can't, you guys know what it is there. You gotta say Birch the Gemma more than once. There, it's unbelievable. How many car crashes do you see, and how many people slipping on the roads just because of the ice? I mean, it's bitter. We're talking. No, if snow is on the, you have to think, what's the Torah say about snow? So you take out a siddur. And the siddur we have in Psukei Dezimra, a very interesting thing. I'm going to give you a hakdama before this to Psukei Dezimra that you should hear. Psukei Dezimra are those psuk which we say every day, between Baruch Sheomar and Yishtabach. The translation of these psukim, the more advanced people know how to do it, and the ones that are not so advanced, I would advocate they make an ulpan out of it every day, another word to learn what it is. You've got the linears, another word, like that's a very good thing. It's Tehillim, it's Lashna Kodesh, you can learn English. And the next day, you repeat it over, and then within a short time, you've got a vocabulary. There is a Chazal who say about the Psukim de Zimra, that when you say Psukei Dezimra, you should say it kemoine mois, like counting money. Counting money simply is understood by people. Don't leave it out. You know when you're counting money and you leave out $100 bill in your account? Yeah, if you mistake it, it costs you a little more money. You give the fellow too much. Correct? So a person counting is very careful. He's sure he doesn't confuse. People, when they say Psukei Dezimra, should not go at its speed. Each word should get its proper treatment. Understand what he's saying. That's the simple pshat, kemoine mois. And it's correct. There is a deeper pshat, kemoine mois. If you decide to count a bundle of money, a bundle of 100 shekel stars, notes of 100 shekel, it's not considered counting by you taking each one and going through your fingers. Counting means at the end you know the total.
If you went through all those, I counted all, but I can't remember how many was there, then you haven't counted. You've gone through an act of giving each one kind of a name, but if you haven't got the sikum, you don't have the total, then you haven't counted, correct? You've got to count again. Moshe Michael, he heard the oimeke inyan of kemoine mois is not only that you should say it slowly, that you should understand and know the sach akol. You should understand the sach. What do I mean? Even more advanced people, even people who are learning for many years, often understand the translation of each individual pasuk. Take an individual pasuk by itself. Everybody can understand it. You don't want to look at the translation. But when you take one pasuk after another, and you want to understand what's the common denominator between them, how these three pasukim connect to the next pasuk, often you have great difficulties. Because David HaMelech, who was a very systematic, organized, brilliant man, seemed to jump from topic to topic without any advance warning, and sometimes it's extremely difficult to know what's one connected to the other. So we're going to read out one of the Tehillim we say every morning in Sukkot HaZimra, and midterm tomorrow you'll learn Pshat better. And this came as a result of that this talks about snow, and since I was in America, this pasuk is talking what you're supposed to do in the snow. The pasuk says, Roitze HaShemesh Yireha Avazem Yachnim L'chazdek, which broke a light Yirei Shemayim. Shavchi Yerushalayim Es HaShem Halilah Etzir. Fine, one topic. Next topic, Hasam Gvurech Shalom, because Baruch Hu sends you Shalom. Chelev Chitim Yasbech, will give you the best of wheat, best wheat. Next pasuk, Hashaleach Imrosoi Oretz. He sends his word to the ground, to the Oretz. Ad Mehera, very quickly, Yolos Devorah, his Devorah speaks very quickly. Next pasuk, Hanoisen Sheleg Katsomer, he gives snow-like wool, Kefor, ice or freezing, Ke'efe Yafaza, he spreads like Efer. Maslech Karchoi Kefitim, Livnei Karosom Yamed, all sorts of about various stages of freezing, and I don't know which each one are called in English, various stages to the freezing can be so terrible you just can't stand in front of it. Yishlach Devor of Yansem, he'll send his word and melt them. Yashiv Ruchoi, comes a wind. Yizlu Moim, starts water starts coming. Magid Devor of Yankov, he says his words to Yankov. Chukov Umishpotov Yisrael, his Chukim Mishpotov Yisrael. Le'osachin, Echol Goyim Mishpotim Bal Yedor Bar Ruchoi, he didn't do it to anybody else of the Goyim, and this is only for the Yid. Now everybody has followed each individual apostle perfectly here. But can anybody tell me what the connection of the first and the last sandwich is? The sandwich here starts, Ashalech Imrosa Oretz, because Baruch Hu sends his words down to the earth. And it goes very quickly. And then he starts talking about the Sheleg, and about the freezing, and it gets rid of it, then it comes water again, and suddenly again it's back to Magid Devorov Leyankiv Chukov Mishpotov Yisrael. And on the face of it, it would appear a very surprising thing. What is so surprising? We're talking about the Dvar Hashem, then we're talking about snow and ice. We go back to Dvar Hashem. She got a sandwich of snow inside, the first pasuk of Dvar Hashem, last pasuk of Dvar Hashem, and in between, in the sandwiches, snow. Now, the simple pshat in that pasuk is, if you come across snow, you're supposed to stop and think. Not say, it bothers me, not creates hazards. Not to say it's cold, say Hashem send it. It's a peculiar phenomena. Shem send it. That's the pasuk. That's why I was my eye in these psukim there. Anoisin shelakat someone. You're there, you've got to see it. When you don't see it, also have to, but more so. Rabbi Yisrael, we have mentioned to you before, there is a pasuk in the Novi, which we say in the Kriyas HaTorah, of a tainis tzibur. By every tainis tzibur, we have a kriyas haTorah, and at that kriyas haTorah, in the haftorah, we say as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki loi machshev yisai machshev yiseichem. My thoughts are not like yours. V'loi darkeichem derocha. Your ways are not my ways. Ne'um Hashem, says Hashem. And yet more, ki gavu shemayim ha'aretz, as heaven is higher than land, earth. Ken gavu d'rochai midarkecha, my highways are higher than yours. U'machshavoisai, my machshavos than yours. Ki, like, kasher yered ha'geshem ha'shenu v'shem, like the rain and snow go down from heaven, v'shomo lo yoshev, it won't go back to heaven. Ki im hirvas ha'aretz tzedet, as saturated the earth, and has made things grow and flourish, has enabled food and other things to sprout forward. Identical will happen with my words, which come out of my mouth, it won't go back to me empty. It's achieved what I want, and be successful, asher shalachti, what I have sent. And so the Pasuk has told us here in the Navi as follows. Hashem Yisbarach says, don't think my mechshavos are like yours, and my ways are like yours. But the same as Geshem and Shelah comes down from heaven and doesn't go back till it's achieved, and then it cycles back, similarly, my words will go out of my mouth and will not come back till they become reality. And the question obviously is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a Nevius, the Nevius is all very, very, very critical for our understanding. When the Novi here didn't give a Nevius about Sheleg, he gave a Nevius about the Dvar Hashem. But he used the Sheleg as an example. When you use that as an example, that's not critical. It's an example to make people understand. And the question is, what did the Navi have to add the word Sheleg on to the puzzle for? Was it not sufficient to say, Ki kashe yered ageshem min ha-shamayim? We know exactly what we're talking about. Everybody knows rain comes down. Every climate in the world does have rain. Certain climates in the world have very little snow. In Yerushalayim, they have snow of pochus mishav puta. Everybody runs to Yerushalayim and takes photos of it and thinks it's snow. Snow, can't even make a snowball out. It's gorgeous. No tfisa at all. This is Nishkena, that's not snow. Snow. So why did the Novi, who was in Israel, use an example of something which is not even practical? Ma'osipase. And here there's a very deep message, Rabbi Sai. The most difficult thing which we have in understanding is, the most difficult thing we have in relating to, the most difficult thing we have in incorporating in our own lives is, we live in a physical world. Everything is physical, we understand. Spiritually we believe, but how the spirit becomes physical, that sublimation in the opposite direction we don't understand. We understand that actions we do can make a shpah upstairs, okay? But how does the spiritual become physical? And the physical come back again spiritual? We find great difficulty understanding. Life experience doesn't indicate to us how it happens. We believe, because Baruch Hu sends from heaven a lot of things, but we've never seen him sending through the mediums which it comes. Where did it exchange from the spiritual to the physical? And here came the beautiful mashal of the Novi. There's no man, how simpleton he might be, who does not know that the actual substance of water, of rain, and snow, and ice, and evaporating, what's called adim, themes, we don't even see them, they're all the identical material. There's no difference between, they're all H2O in simple English. And anybody says otherwise, he sends it straight to a shrink. They're the same thing. They're the identical thing. Ah, if so, how come this comes down as rain, and the other one comes down as sleet, and that comes down as snow, and that becomes ice, and then it suddenly evaporates and goes up and you don't even see it? You know what the Torah is? There's heat differences. There's place differences. There is circumstantial differences which will cause the same substance with no additional ingredient, without addition and without subtraction. Identical substance will convert from one to the other. It'll look totally different. It'll feel totally different. You'll perceive it different, but it's the same stuff. Do you have to be a mammon for that? You got to believe it? No. Just don't be a fool and you know it. Everybody knows it. It's the same material. You boil a kettle, the steam comes out, and you cause it to come cold, it'll come out from water. Hey, wait, it's the same thing as two chickens, yeah. And you boil the kettle long enough, all the water will steam away. There's nothing left to what will happen. The only steam came out. But where's the water? That's the water. When you're a kid, you didn't understand it. But you know it, correct? Says the Novi, a beautiful thing. Loi machshavoi sai machshavoi seichem. Don't think my machshavah is like yours, and my ways are like yours. I operate spiritual, you're in the physical world. But they're connected. Do you know how they're connected? Beautiful moshav. Ki kasha yereda geshev ha-sheleg v'rashamayim. Like rain and snow go down from heaven. And it goes back. How does the fire go back? It goes back through the medium of evaporation. It goes up again. That whole cycle is operated by Hashem. And everybody realizes the identical material. So is my words, which goes out of my mouth. I sent down spiritual things, and when it comes to the physical world, it itself becomes physical. The identical material which came down spiritually becomes physical. And what happens then? It doesn't stay down here. You do mitzvahs with it, and you send it back up again. It evaporates up. Do you see it going up? No, but it goes up. And it makes an impact. Oh, an impact does it make. A very big impact upstairs. And it makes a huge impact. It really makes a change. How is that? Now you're going to look at the tefillah, which is every morning, and you understand the sandwich. You understand it's so beautiful. What's the process to say? Hashaleach imrosei oretz. Baruch Hu sends words down here. Do you need Hashem's words or do you need parnosa? You need a dinner. Yeah? You need a loaf of bread. You got to cover the bank, overdraft. And the Hegel Yosef are a very quick delivery of Hashem's words. But you don't need words, you need tachris. Actuality. Yes, so he tells you, Nisin Shalach Katzomar, Kefer Ke'efia Fazer, Masha Kachar, Fidim Hosea Amoid, Yishla Dvor, Yazi, Yishla Dvumoyim, you got the whole process here again. Rain, ice, water, evaporation, all the same material, same Avishbor. Says the Ramachal, he says, the things which are highly spiritual things in the higher olamos, when they go through the olamos, they themselves become bread here. They, not something else, bread. They themselves, the same substance becomes bread. Parnos, in other words. Then we finish. Magid el bogol Yaakov, chukum ishpot of Yisrael. This whole principle is something only you can understand. How this, the ruchni comes gashmi, and the gashmi goes back again, becomes ruchni. If it's done the right way. Melekum tais. Now, we're putting the three sections we spoke together, you see a beautiful oymet lifnim, oymet lifnim, oymet. Bezalel didn't focus on his physicality. Because if you would have checked his own capacities, what was his capacity? Useless. He couldn't make any of this artistic activity. He was useless. Futile. Couldn't do anything. So Bezalel was converted into a ruchni, who knew how to process that ruchni into the gashmi world. How did he process the ruchni into the gashmi? He had in himself the process of the snow. Do you hear what's going on? He got this ruchni, which is his koima of ben Tzalel, ben Uri, ben Chur, Mesirus Nefesh, Kedusha, Daya Chalokim in the Shamas, and put him in there. So his ruchni became gashmi. And he picked up the spiritual way of doing these creative, artistic activities, and it converted into reality, Metzius. Tachlis. Pshiii. That's Mishkan. But was it only that? That same Mishkan can take physical action, send them all the way back up again. That's why you needed, we said in the second section with the Maral, how the Machshava by Sharbeda with the Maisa of the Tzala and Bezala of the Tzir for both. Focus. Because the Mishkan is the center point in the whole world of that transmission. It's the powerhouse of that receiving spiritual energies and converting into physical and sending them back. Where do we see that? One chazal, which you know, Aaron, Kol ha'olim nizom b'shvil chananya b'ni, v'chananya b'ni da'ilah b'kar charuvim. What does that mean? That the olim akdusha brings down all the parnosa, the yeshiva brings down the parnosa, and it sends it back up again. That's the story. It doesn't necessarily come to it, it goes to a lot of other people as well on the way. Da'ilah, Seder. So the klal is, now we understand that the Indian, why we have so much machshava and maisa fusing, ava and yira, the antithesis of chesed alone, is ahava and yira. Do you know what the oimek of the thing is? We're saying, converting chesed into something ruchni, chesed can be something very gashmi. Chesed can be something very gashmi. The machshava, the yira shamayim, converts the gashmis of into something ruchni. And that's all tachlis. Rabbi, we have a Mishkan, we have a Betzalel, we have a Betzel Kelo Yisrael, we have all these ideas, should Be'ez Hashem be zeichet to implement in our own lives, to be koine, all the Ruchnias and Madregas in the Olam HaGashmi, capture them, and send them back again, with Tosefes, with the additive of our own Avodas Hashem. And I'm going to call you a little bit of 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 a